And it was about 11 o'clock one night, and she was out on the porch, and she comes back inside and she says, "You need to come out here and listen to this." And I'm like, "All right." So I go outside, and I could hear screams. There were screams coming from the swamp.
Welcome back to Bigfoot Society. In this episode, we talk to Gabe, a hunter who's had encounters both in northern Indiana and northern Georgia. What was it that happened that made him leave his hunting area never to return? And what exactly did Gabe hear in the swamp that was screaming that one night? Find out this and more on Bigfoot Society. All right, Bigfoot Society, I've got the privilege of talking to Mr. Gabe Rossi today from northern Georgia. Ran into Gabe on Facebook a few days back, and he said he's got some interesting stories to share of his time out in the woods and things he's experienced. How's it going tonight, Gabe?
It's going really well.
Awesome, awesome.
This is kind of new for me. I've never done anything like this before, so. Bear with me.
Oh, you got it. You got it. All right. Well, Gabe, let's go ahead and get started, and I'll have you start the story where you would like to.
All right. I guess give a little bit of background. The area where a lot of these experiences are happening, which they're still happening today from what I understand, we're in northern Indiana is where the majority of my experiences took place while scouting for deer and deer hunting. So I guess the first time it was me and my ex-wife and my two kids were on a nature trail. There's a 3,000 acre public land close to where we lived. So we would go and we would walk through the nature trail, you know, and it's a pretty extensive nature trail. Probably takes an hour or so to walk through it. It's just a big loop. And we get to the bottom. It goes down a hill and goes around, and it's really thick and dense. And we get to the bottom, and I felt like something was watching me. I didn't feel like we were alone. So I stopped. And I pull my binoculars out, and I had them go on. And I start looking, and I can't see anything, but I still have this feeling. I've been in the woods a long time, you know, from the time I was a kid. And I know when something's not right, and something wasn't right. So I sent them on ahead, and I stayed down there for a little bit. And I kept looking around and glassing, and still didn't see anything. So I caught back up with them, and the feeling got worse and worse and worse. And I told my ex-wife, I said, just go. Take the girls and just go. At this point, I'm freaking out. I hadn't seen anything, I hadn't heard anything, but the feeling. So we get up to the vehicle, we get up to our car, and there is the most horrendous smell I've ever smelled in my life. And her and I looked at each other, and she says, "What is that?" And I just said, "You know what that is." And that was my first experience there. And I would say probably, well, 2008 was when I had my eye opener. I'd set my tree stand up. I was went out and did some scouting for deer season, and I had set my tree stand up on the corner of a creek and a swamp. And I was out one morning, and you know, my stand was like 20 feet in the air, and my ex-wife was in a blind probably 50 to 75 yards behind me. I had her tucked back up in this blind, and it was probably right around sunrise, and I hit my butt grunt, And I heard something splash on the other side of the swamp. And I could hear it coming through the swamp. And I wasn't thinking anything else but deer. So I can hear it. I can hear it coming through the swamp. And I'm like, all right. So I'm getting ready. And I hear it come out of the swamp. And I can hear a bunch of rustling in the, there's a real dense thicket, probably 40 yards away from me. And you can't see into this thicket. It's so thick. And I hit my grunt again, and it stopped. And that's when I heard something hit the ground and roll past me. And I'm like, what the heck was that? Yeah, I just kind of blanked it out, and I'm like, all right, there's a deer in there. So I hit my grunt again. Sure enough, I hear it happened again. I couldn't see, but I could hear it hit the ground and roll past me in the leaves. So daybreak came, and I didn't see anything else. Nothing else happened. It was just calm and quiet after that. And when I say calm, the birds didn't wake up that morning. It was so eerily calm in the woods that morning that 2 days later, I went and moved my stand. I didn't want anything to do with that area. I got out of there.
Now, I actually have a few questions for you, if you don't mind, Gabe, because I find that fascinating. So as a hunter, it was so off-putting to you that you actually moved to a different hunting area.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because after all that happened, you know, in the heat of the moment, I was like, oh, that's a deer. But later on that afternoon, I was like, wait a minute. Deer don't have hands. Something threw something at us. That's when everything started to run through my head. And I was like, oh, wow. That's when it all started to click. And I moved my stand after that. And even to this day, I have not gone back into that area to this day.
And that was in, remind me again, where roughly that was?
That was in Indiana, northern Indiana.
Okay. Have you looked to see if there's been sightings in that area that you were? Is that anything you looked into?
Well, see, that's the thing. When I actually had my sighting, when I actually saw one, it was in that area.
Okay.
So yeah. And then there were like 2 years. Well, I've been down here for 2 years. So 3 years ago, there were actually two sightings in the same day, about 20 minutes apart in that area. So, and you know, growing up in that area, my mom had told me stories, you know, but you're a kid and you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. You don't really think much about it, you know? But then as you get older and unexplainable things start happening, I'm not the type of person that just says, oh, well, this is what it is. I try to look for what it can't be first. And then I go for what I try to think of what it could be. And in these experiences, there's only certain things that it could be. Because northern Indiana, where I'm from, we don't have bears. You know, so if you see something that big, it's not a bear. Because they're not there. So it's kind of where, and as far as tree structures and, oh, I have found so much up there. And down here even. Down here in northern Georgia, my girlfriend and I, we like to hike a lot up in the mountains, and we have found so much stuff. And it's just right on the trails. But when I look for this stuff, when I notice, I don't really look for it, but I notice it. And some of it could be human, but then you start thinking, and it's like, all right, you know, you've got broken branches 15 feet off the ground. Who's going to climb up a tree and break branches 15 feet off the ground? Right.
So when you say, you know, broken branches, describe that to me a little bit. So are these massive branches that are broken, or small guys, or?
Oh yeah. These are probably, you know, 3-4 inches around, and they're just broken and just hanging there. Yeah, there's tree structures, tree bends, you know, and what I take these as is they're markers for people to stay on the trails. I feel that they've come to, they're not okay with people being there, but they've accepted it as long as you stay on the trail. And some of these trails, there was one, it was, I'm trying to think. I think it was around New Year's of 2021. It was my first winter down here. And her and I, we decided to go on a hike. And it's like a quarter mile hike. It's a pretty dense area back to a waterfall. You get to this waterfall, and it looks like something out of Indiana Jones. I mean, it's really, really cool. And we're just checking things out, you know, and walking around and just looking at things and checking out the waterfall, and, you know, and all of a sudden she looks at me and she says, "I don't feel so good." I'm like, "What do you mean?" She says, "My head hurts. I can't think straight. I feel nauseous." I said, "All right, we need to go." Cause I had a little bit of a feeling, but not like that. So we're not running, but we're moving at a good pace out of there. And she kept going, and I stopped, and I heard the heaviest footfalls I have ever heard in my life. And they were coming up quick behind us. So I told her, I said, "Just go. Whatever happens, just go. Don't look back. Just go." And I grabbed we always take fruit and stuff with us on our hikes. Well, I grabbed an apple out of her backpack, and I threw it back behind me, and we just took off. And we went about another 15, 20 yards, and I stopped. And the footfalls had stopped, and everything was quiet. So I don't know if it took the apple as an offering or what, but. And the further we got away from that waterfall area, the better she started feeling. So, I don't know. Take that for what it is. But I know what it was.
Sounds like you could almost have been dealing with an infrasound type situation. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty in tune with that kind of stuff. And that was the first time it happened. And it's happened a couple of times since, but not to that extent. So there was another hike we were on, and we were going to hike to a waterfall, and the trail just kind of just disappeared. I mean, we're hiking, we're looking for trail markers, and it's just gone. And we're hiking right next to a river, a creek, and we're like, you know what? This looks like a good place to stop. So I usually take a cigar, and I'll light up a cigar, and I'll sit there and smoke a cigar and just chill. And she'll go walk around in the water in the creek, you know, do her thing. And we just kind of enjoy nature. Well, she was on the other side of the creek, and this kind of gave me chills, but I'm sitting there and I hear this low, low, low guttural grumble, like a growl. And the funny thing was, she's on the other side of the creek, and this is where it came from. And it's real thick, and I mean, you know, the mountain goes straight up on the other side. And she stopped what she was doing, and she looked at me from across the creek, and we looked at each other, and we're like, you know, just staring at each other for a few seconds. And then we heard it again. And she just stopped and she just sat there for a second. Then I don't know how you want to put it. I think it was cool, but we heard two of them chattering back and forth to each other. Real soft, real low. And she said she could hear them in her head. But you couldn't make out what they were saying.
Can you describe if it sounded like anything similar at all, any description of what that language sounded like?
It was just chatter. Almost like a deep, deep, deep squirrel chatter almost. Does that make sense? I guess. I don't know how else to describe it. It wasn't, you could hear the voices change and fluctuate, but you couldn't make out any words.
Gabe, have you ever heard the Sierra sounds?
Yes. And it sounded nothing like that.
Okay. I didn't want to put it into the story, but I want to bring it in just as, was it like that or was it not? Okay. So it wasn't like that at all. Interesting.
No. Her and I both kind of feel that it may have been a couple of juveniles that were just checking us out and trying to figure out what we were doing there, because we weren't causing any problems. We weren't doing anything goofy. They were just feeling us out. It's kind of how we feel about it.
Now, is this situation here, is this in Georgia or is it in Indiana?
Yeah, this was in Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have there been many sightings in that area that you were in?
Yes. Yeah. That's up. I don't really want to give the area because I don't know. I just kind of want to leave them alone, let them do their thing. You know, if I say where it was, and there's potential that everybody could go up there. So.
Oh yeah. That's no problem. I respect you for that. You know, we don't want to mess with them for sure. And kind of keep them safe in their habitat. So.
No. Yeah. And then, I had my first sighting. And that was kind of crazy. I was doing some scouting and I had a golf cart that I was going, all these, that 3,000 acres that I hunted was, there were roads going down, going through it. And there's fire lanes. The park rangers had cut fire lanes through the CRP grass, you know, every 50 yards or so. And they'd go from the road all the way to the wood line. And then they would go around, you know, just basically to make it so people can get to where they need to go. And so they can get in and they can check for fallen trees and stuff like that. Basically access roads, I guess. But they stay out of there unless they absolutely have to go in there. But I was going down the main drag. And I looked to my left down one of the fire lanes, like I always did, because I was always looking for deer. And it was about 100 yards away, and it was massive. It was at least 7.5 feet tall at the shoulders. And it was about 2.5 to 3 feet thickness of the chest. Because it was walking across that fire lane as I went by. We were going the same way. And I hit the brakes, and I backed up, and it was gone. But, like I said before, there's no bears in Indiana. So something that big is not a bear. And that was the same area that they had had just a couple years ago, they had two reportings in the same day. So, and it was brown. It was a dark reddish brown color. And it was getting close to dark. It was still plenty of daylight, but it was, you know, the sun was starting to set. But yeah, that's when I had my first sighting.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask you some questions about that?
No, go ahead.
Did you notice anything about it, its head at all, or its face, or is it just a very quick sighting?
It was just a very quick, you know, the fire lanes are only 10 feet wide. So it was probably two strides, step and then step, and it was gone. But like I said, something that big can only be one thing in our area because we don't have any bears.
Absolutely. Do you remember anything about how it was holding its arms when it was crossing?
It was, its right arm was back, and I could kind of make out some of the fur on the sides. And it's pretty long hair. Yeah.
Wow. Male or female? Any indication on that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
All I know, it was big. And here in this is, some people are going to think I'm crazy for this, but the area that I lived was probably a mile and a half from all this. And there was a swamp that was connected to it. And my ex-wife at the time, she was very skeptical. And it was about 11 o'clock one night, and she was out on the porch, and she comes back inside and she says, "You need to come out here and listen to this." And I'm like, "All right." So I go outside and I could hear screams. There were screams coming from the swamp, and the swamp is connected to this hunting preserve. And shortly after I had that sighting, I was sitting in my living room, and about 10 feet up the wall on the outside, I heard wham, something hit the side of my house. This happened two different times at about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning when I was sitting up watching TV. Now, 10 feet off the ground, I don't know. I personally think that after that they knew I saw it, and they were letting me know that they knew, that's what I think, but I don't know. All I know was that freaked me out.
Oh, I totally would be the same way. I mean, how did that make you feel to know that, you know, you see the guy in the swamp, the big boy in the swamp, yeah, and you live a mile away from that? How did that make you feel as a homeowner?
No, it didn't bother me.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I've got guns.
All right.
I'm armed to the teeth, so, I mean, I'll protect myself if need be, but.
All right.
It was eye-opening, to say the least.
Was that the same after it hit the side of your house with the big boulder or anything like that? You still felt the same way?
No. It was his hand. I think it was just a slap. It was just a slap on the side of the house. Just letting me know.
Oof.
You know, it happened twice.
Well, that's even wilder, Gabe, because they could have been outside listening, and then all of a sudden they're like, "All right, time to give him the warning." And just a blam, slap.
Yeah.
Is that why you left that area?
No. Okay. No.
And we won't get, because don't feel like you have to get into why, but I was just curious if they were related.
Oh, no. Okay. No, that never bothered.
All right.
No. But yeah, I've found a lot, like I said, a lot of tree structures, a lot of tree bends, just some crazy things out there.
Now I want to go back to that night when your ex, I believe is your ex-wife, says to come out, listen to this scream. Yeah. Can you describe in any way what that scream was like, if you've ever heard anything like it, or what it reminded you of?
It sounded like a woman, like a woman being tortured. It was just a loud, high-pitched scream. And I mean, it made my skin crawl when I heard it. You know, and after that, we do have bobcats, but they're not very prevalent. And I pulled up a fox, and a fox was close, but not close enough. And I've never heard anything like it before in my life. So as far as that goes, I think it could only be one thing, because it was loud. It was so loud. I've never heard anything so loud in my life.
You know, and that's the difference, right? That's what I usually hear, is that it sounded this one way, but the thing was, is that no other creature could make the sound that loud. It would need to have a huge diaphragm, a huge set of lungs behind it in order to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. And if it would have been a fox, it would have been muffled, because it would have been on the ground in, you know, underbrush, thicket. This wasn't. You could tell this was booming.
Is that the only time that you heard vocalizations around that property, that main time with the screaming?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the only time I had heard that there. Yeah. And then the chattering down here in Georgia, which was pretty intense. That was crazy.
That's a lot, Gabe. That you definitely have gone through some stuff. That area with the chattering and everything in Georgia, because you're still down there. Do you ever go back to that area?
We're planning on it. We're planning on going back. We haven't been back since. Yeah, because we try to hike. Well, when we go on these hikes, we look for hikes that are out of the way. We have All Trails app, and we pull it up, and if it says you may encounter a lot of people on this, it's a very popular trail, we avoid those. We don't like them. We go to the ones that say this is not a very popular trail, you probably won't see anyone. And when we go on these trails, we don't see anybody. So they're not, some of them are pretty much goat paths that you have to try to find your way through. And luckily I have enough experience with finding game trails that I can keep finding the path. So that's pretty helpful on some of these. And some of the things that we found on these trails, like, I think I sent you a picture of the handprint. Did I send that to you?
I believe you did, yes.
And the footprint, we found a footprint. Yep. I found two footprints, a handprint, all kinds of stuff. I mean, yeah, it.
Now, I'm looking at them right now, actually, Gabe, and the handprint is interesting, because it's almost like something put its hand on top of some moss, and you can just see where it dragged down and just dragged the moss away.
And that's going up the side of a mountain. She actually, is it? That's actually her hand. Yeah, that's my girlfriend's hand. And she took the picture. She's the one that found it. Yeah.
Man.
She's sitting here. I think she's wanting to tell some of her stuff too.
Oh, is she there with you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's up to her. Gabe and his girlfriend will be back next week on Bigfoot Society, as his girlfriend shares some very interesting viewpoints on Bigfoot encounters that they've had. You can hear the whole interview right now about becoming a supporting member of the Bigfoot Society podcast over at patreon.com/thebigfootsociety. If you've got a Bigfoot encounter you'd like to share, please email me at bigfootsociety@gmail.com. And as always, thank you for listening.